So in the season of the calendar of the church, we go through some peaks and valleys, some high moments and some low moments, some moments of joy and some moments of being in the wilderness. If you go all the way back into early March, we began the season of Lent, which kicks off with Ash Wednesday. We place the ashes upon our head, and that's to remind us of our mortality, that we're not going to be here forever. And then we launch in during the season of Lent into the wilderness, and we kind of are reminded that our life is chaotic and that there's much searching to do and things we need to find out about our relationship with God. And then in the last week of Lent, during Holy Week, we enter into this time where we realize, oh, if I'm going to get out of the wilderness, someone needs to lead me out. And we find out that that is Jesus Christ, that He is the way, that He's the path out of the chaos and the darkness and the lostness of our life. And then we realize that Christ died for us in order to do that, and He tells us that we must die to ourselves as well. And then Easter comes, and we realize that all of this relying upon Christ and our dying to ourselves brings us into this season of new life. And we say, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. And so we've been in the season of Easter these last five, six Sundays when we've been celebrating the resurrection. And over the next couple of weeks, we start fine-tuning things a little bit, and we move in toward the season of Pentecost, which is the season of the Holy Spirit. And these last two Sundays of Easter start to bring us into recognizing the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And man, the Holy Spirit has a role in your life. If you have not figured that out yet as a Christian, we need to figure that out real soon, because the Holy Spirit is the power within you. The Holy Spirit is the life within you. He's the very breath within you that powers you on to be the person that Christ wants you to be. And so over the next few weeks, you'll start seeing a little turn toward the Holy Spirit, and it will culminate with Pentecost Sunday here within just a few weeks. So this morning we want to talk about the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit as a friend. Because who doesn't need a friend? We all need a friend. There was a man of great success, and someone asked him, he said, what is your secret to success? And he said, I had a friend. We've all had that person in our lives, maybe more than one person, who made that difference for us. They walked alongside us. They gave us a boost just when they needed it. When everyone else had abandoned us, they were there and they stuck by us. That friend that did not abandon us and was our source of strength in a difficult time. That's the kind of friend that we're speaking of today. They were a game changer. They were a life changer. And without this friend, you may have very well could have been a failure at that point in your life. But that friend stood by you. You go through life, to go through life without a friend like that would be a frightening journey. To go through life alone. But unfortunately, our friends and even our family can abandon us in our journey. You know, they're the ones who say, if we were on a sinking ship and there was only one life jacket, I sure would miss you. those are the kind of friends I'm talking about. That kind of friend. Proverbs 18:24 says, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Now, who wants that friend? That's the friend I want. That's the friend I need. To find such a friend. And everybody wants that kind of friend in life. It's no accident that on Facebook that they name their followers friends. Because who doesn't want not just one friend, but 10 friends, 1,000 friends that you can call and instantly, just with a click of a button. You know, back in the early 90s, there was a book written by an anthropologist. His name was Robin Dunbar. And he came to this interesting conclusion. He had studied thousands and thousands of people in social relationships. And he came up with this average that said, people on average can only keep track of 148 individuals in their life. There's about 148. I don't know how that number came up. But there's about 148 people that you can sort of keep track of in your life and kind of keep in your sphere. And outside of that, you kind of it's a different relationship that you have with them. But within that 148 in this study, it was found that most people in their lifetime, if they're lucky, at the most, will have three close friends, maybe even one close friend. So friends are very valuable. Having a good friend is valuable to our lives. Now you think, well, why wouldn't we have more friends then? Why wouldn't we want 10 of those? Well, forming and maintaining the kind of bonds that are required for friendship is not easy. The things that we have to do in a friendship. We cultivate friendships by having, first of all, we have shared meaningful experiences. We go through difficult times, we go through good times with them. We take time to get to know them, and when we let them get to know us, we help each other through tough spots. We're willing to listen to them, and they listen to us. And we're willing to be honest with them and for them to hold us accountable. So when you put all that together, it's like, oh yeah, having a friend's not an easy thing to do. It's a lot of work. But what we truly need is a friend in life, because life was not meant to be lived alone. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And Jesus Christ, let's begin with Jesus. Jesus was that kind of friend in the world. When he walked this earth, he had a close bond of friends, and you could probably bring it down to about three, and that was Peter, James, and John. That was his Dunbar number. That was his three. That was his three closest friends. Now he had the disciples around him who were in that mix, and there were the people that he healed. There were the women around him that he served and who served him. So he had friends, and they were rich or poor, they were sinners or saints, they were educated, not well educated, they were of any race, of any nation. He was a friend to many. But Jesus, while he was on earth, was limited by his human body. He could not be everywhere at one time, just as we can't be everywhere at one time, even though if you've been a parent, you kind of know you're expected to do that, and sometimes you feel like you are everywhere at one place. So Jesus reminded his followers in our scripture today before he was going to leave that the Spirit of God is coming. And so in our day, the Spirit of God is available even now. This presence of God, who was a friend to Peter, James, and John, who was a friend to the disciples, who was a friend to saints and sinners alike, that very friend is available to you and me in all of the same power and all of the same glory and all of the same healing and all of the same strength that it was in Jesus Christ when he walked this earth. That's a powerful statement about Jesus, about God in the world. That God is in the world and God is in you in the same power and strength that he was in Jesus Christ. Now, how many of us believe that? The same God that was in Jesus is the same God who dwells in you. Jesus said, you will do greater things than me. How? Because the Holy Spirit is living in you, and he's your friend, and he's always with you. So the Holy Spirit is our friend. He's that third person of the threeness, what we call the Trinity of God. God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Greek word there in the text is for the Holy Spirit. I believe the translation that Bob read from said counselor, maybe. Paraclete is the Greek word for it, and it can mean counselor or helper or the one who walks alongside you. This God, through the Holy Spirit, is the one who walks alongside you. Through the peaks, through the valleys, through the times of joy, through the times of difficulty, he is the friend that is always there. He never departs from us. The psalmist says, I tried to go as far away as I could, and I could not get away from the Spirit of God. Sometimes we feel like running from the Spirit because the Spirit, as a good friend, holds us accountable and pushes that conscience up against us sometimes and pushes that sense of responsibility and of service that we need to do to our brothers and sisters. But the Spirit never leaves us. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? that God doesn't dwell in temples made by man's hands. The temple of God is you. And that same power that lived in Jesus, Jesus said, I give to you. He's coming. A few things about this friend. First of all, as I said, he lies within you. And lying within you, he knows you better than you know yourself. The Holy Spirit knows you better than you know yourself. And the reason that is, in part, is because we tend to lie to ourselves. We tell stories about ourselves to make us feel good and kind of hide, you know, the dark things, and we push those aside and we create this story. But the Holy Spirit looks at us and he knows everything about us. And I don't mean that I don't mean to communicate that in the sense of, you know, Santa Claus is watching, so you better be not nice and not naughty. He knows everything about you in a good way. Because he knows that part of you that you don't even know exists. He knows that part of you that you can't see. He can communicate and present to the world more fully and articulately and powerfully that part of you than you could ever present to the world. Because we're only half the person unless we can communicate who we are. And our words can't express the truth that lives within us. But our friend, the Holy Spirit, speaks for us. That there's power in that. The Holy Spirit, who lives in you, presents you in the way that God wants to present you to the world. Because when we try to present ourselves to the world, it's very clumsily and very awkwardly, and we don't know our whole selves, but the Holy Spirit sees through it all. And when the Holy Spirit speaks through you, he speaks truth and he speaks who you really are. Jesus said that in Luke. He said that in Luke's gospel. The 12th chapter, 13th verse, he says, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say at the moment when you need them. Have you ever been in a discussion? Usually it's an argument and somebody says something and you just don't have anything back to say, and then a couple hours later you're at home and it's like, oh man, if I just said that, that would have shut them down. Well, the Holy Spirit's not there to give you a good zinger comeback, but the Holy Spirit is there to give you the words to say in wherever you are, in whatever circumstance that you're in, because the Spirit knows you better than you know yourselves. There's a couple of singers, and I just discovered about the second one this week when Michelle and I were in the car this week, and I think it was Ed Sheeran. Sheeran? Okay. Huh? Sheeran? Okay. Sheeran, anybody know who he is? Okay. Yeah, he's a popular singer now. But he apparently, as a young man, still young by my standards, but when he was a younger man, was a stutterer. He couldn't speak. And of course, in much of our generation was Mel Tillis, right, who the country singer, who when they were speaking, they couldn't quite get the words out. But when they sang, man, the words just came out beautifully. And that's sort of an analogy of how the Holy Spirit works for us. We kind of move in the world. We don't know ourselves. We don't know how to express ourselves fully, but the Holy Spirit says, let me handle this. And when we open our lives to the Spirit and we walk in the Spirit begins to speak for us. Paul explains this experience about how his friend, the Holy Spirit, communicates his life for him. And he says it's in wordless groans. In the same way, this is in Romans, Paul says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So it's very much a spiritual or even a mystical experience. It's not limited to our minds, our rational ability. It goes beyond our minds. The Spirit, when we settle into the Spirit speaks for us. And so that's why it's so important just to walk with God in silence sometimes and not constantly talking to God, but listening to God. God said, God will say, here's what I have for you. And it will come to you. It will come to you in an intuition. It will come to you in a sentiment. It will come to you in a moment that, oh, that's where I need to be. This is where I need to be. This is how I need to demonstrate my life. This is what I need to say in this moment. So the Spirit lives within you and he knows you better than yourself. This is powerful too. We find about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit doesn't condemn you. You know, Christ said, I didn't come to condemn you. You're condemned already. You've already messed up. I didn't come to condemn you. I came to save you. And people outside the church sometimes see that backwards. And because sometimes we don't present that really well, because sometimes we are condemning when we're supposed to be loving. But Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn you. I came to save you because you're condemned already. You've already messed up. The true you is already covered by sin and darkness and error. He said, I've come to save you from that. And so the Holy Spirit does not condemn you. If we all have this conversation in our head, if there is a conversation in your head that's making you angry and making you bitter and making you resentful and making you judgmental about yourself and loathing yourself, that is not the Holy Spirit. That's the voice of the world, because Christ did not come to condemn you. He came to save you. He came to walk you out of that mess. And the Holy Spirit will say, now the Holy Spirit's going to be honest with you. He's going to say, I can't believe you're doing this. Or I can't believe you're walking in this way. Or I can't believe you're saying these things. Or I can't believe you're involved in this way in your life. But he will say, but he won't keep beating you down. He'll say, but this is the way we get out of it. Let's walk this way. Here's where the power is. Here's where the renewal is. Here's where the life is. Follow me. Because the Holy Spirit knows the original you. The Holy Spirit knows you as the image of God. See, you, and without Christ, you don't see the original you. All you see is the sinful you. All you see is the you that's messed up and that is in sin and that is in error, that has said and done things that you might think are unforgivable. Maybe it was a one-time thing, or maybe it was something you did over a series of your lifetime. You think, how can God see me in any other way? But the Holy Spirit doesn't condemn you, because He sees you as the original you. He sees you as the image of God, who we were all created in, the Scripture tells us. The Holy Spirit wants to see you shine. Your friend, the Holy Spirit, wants to see you fly. He wants to see you succeed. He wants to see you live life abundantly. Now, why would He do this? As I said, He knows the original you. He knows the original you because He sees you as the baptized you. If you've come into Christ through baptism, He sees you as the baptized you. He sees you as the one who has been cleaned by water and by fire, by water and by spirit. John came, John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, came before Jesus and said, I baptize you with water. In other words, John was saying, I baptize you with this symbolic acts that where you're saying, I want to change and I want to be clean. I baptize you with water. But one is coming after me who will baptize you with fire, who will baptize you in the Spirit. And that is Jesus. And so Jesus' Spirit, the fire of God, the Spirit of God begins to work on your life, and it starts to tear off that sin, and it tears this piece off of you and discards it, and it tears this piece of sin and it washes it away. And then left before the eyes of God is the original you, created in the image of God. That's what the Spirit sees, and that's what the Spirit's working with. And it's a beautiful, wonderful you. And you may not be able to see that. You may be walking through life beating yourself up, loathing and resentful and bitter and angry, because you don't see what God sees. But God sees the original you, who was lost into sin, who's been made new through the baptism of the fire and Spirit, through the life and death of Jesus Christ. That's you in Christ. That is a friend who can take you, who you are, and I don't know everything about you, but if you're anything like me, I don't know who you are, but this Christ has taken you and He's made you clean in Christ. That's the kind of friend I want. And that's the kind of friend the Holy Spirit is, if you will let Him work in your life. He will take you where you are, and He sees the original you, and He says, let's get back to that. Let's get back to this image that God made. Because when you return to the image, the likeness of Christ that God made you to be, it's time to rock and roll. It's time for your life to kick into gear, and God will make you what He wanted you to be, and you will begin to perform in that way. I want that kind of friend in my life. And that's the kind of friend the Holy Spirit is. And that's the kind of person we become baptized in the water and the Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit becomes essential to you. He is essential to you. And it's interesting that the name in both Hebrew and Greek for Spirit is also the word for breath. Ruach is the name in Hebrew. It means spirit, but it also means breath. They only have one word for spirit and breath, and it's ruach. In the New Testament, there's only one word for spirit and breath, and it's pneuma. So it's essential. The Holy Spirit is essential to us. If the Holy Spirit is not alive in you and you haven't opened your life to the Holy Spirit, you are suffocating. Spiritually, you are suffocating, and literally your body is dying in the world without the living Christ in you. And so we learn to inhale Christ. We learn to inhale the Spirit, and we learn to exhale. That's why in Christian mindfulness, which we'll be talking about in June on Silent Tuesdays, silent prayer, that's why so much of silent prayer is a focus upon breathing in Christ and breathing out Christ. You take in the Spirit of God, and then God makes something new in you, and you exhale it, and you demonstrate the original you, the image of God, into the world, and you become a blessing to others. So the Holy Spirit then becomes essential. And finally, we find in the Scriptures that this Holy Spirit, this friend of ours, will teach you the truth. He will teach you the truth about yourself, and He will teach you the truth about yourself in the world. Now, this first part is hard, and I already alluded to this, because the Holy Spirit enters into you as a truth teller. Now, how many of us want a total, honest, truthful assessment of our inner life laid before us? The Holy Spirit comes in and begins to tell the truth about us. And that's not easy. Who wants to have their life on display before God? But the Holy Spirit comes in and begins to do that and tells us the truth about who we are. That's to keep us honest and authentic. Jesus says in John chapter 16, in this part of John that we read from this morning, in those few chapters where the Holy Spirit is talked about in great detail, Jesus says in John 16:13, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, your friend, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come." Now, did you hear that? Open your life to the Spirit. Breathe in the Holy Spirit. Accept Him and open your heart's door to Him. And truth straight from the lips of God will enter into you. That's powerful stuff. Because the world's been feeding you lies. And guess what? You and I have bought into it hook, line, and sinker. They said if you just had all this material stuff, you'll be happy. If you have this perfect relationship and you have all this number of friends around you and you have this great social life, you'll be happy. If you're in the right circle of friends, you'll be happy. You just got to work your way into that. You got to manipulate your way into that. Then it's all those things that we're told to buy that will make us happy. So we've been fed lies. But the powerful thing is when the Holy Spirit, the truth, gets in you, it begins to open up and it reveals to you, this is what happiness is. This is what the abundant life is. And it looks nothing like the world. It looks nothing like the lie that you've been told. So He teaches you about yourself. But then He teaches you about your place in the world. John 14:26, "He will teach you everything and remind you of all that Jesus said." So book learning is admirable. It's good for the head, good for the heart. Staying on top of current events is helpful. Knowing the latest gossip is even somewhat satisfying, isn't it? But if you open your heart to God's Spirit, He will teach you everything that you need to know. And the wisdom of life that you need to succeed, whether in your relationships, at work or at home, wherever you go, that wisdom is revealed to you in the Holy Spirit. Because that's what your friend Jesus wants for you, living in you. He's your friend. and He wants good for you. I'll close with this. Someone once said, a friend is someone who knows the song in your heart and can sing it back to you when you have forgotten the words. A friend is someone who knows the song in your heart and can sing it back to you when you have forgotten the words. Are you at a point in your life where you've forgotten the words? You remember that song? Maybe you have to go way back to your childhood to remember that song. Maybe it was an earlier point in your adult life where it just felt like life was a song, but you've forgotten the words. A friend is the one who, when you've forgotten it, your friend can reintroduce those words to you. That is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can bring back the song to your life. That's powerful stuff. That's the good news. Because there are people in this world, all of us at one time or another, who have lost the words to the song. And we feel sad, we feel depressed, we feel anxious, we feel doubtful. We wonder, is there any meaning or purpose? Is there any reason for all of this? And the friend is the one who returns the song, and that is the Holy Spirit. He is the Holy Spirit who does that. You've got a friend. He dwells in you. He knocks on your heart. He's just waiting for you to open the door so that He can come in and come into the deepest part of your soul, that place where where you really are who you are, beneath the crud of the layers of sin and of error that have been caked around your soul. And He's ready to journey with you. He's ready to teach you. He's ready to be your helper. And He's ready to be your best friend. Let's pray together. It's tragic, Father, how we go through life and realize that we have turned our back on our best friend and didn't even know it. That we were walking in this world and we were feeling alone or feeling chaotic or confused or lost. And then it finally dawns on us that we have turned our back on our best friend. And we're told in the Scriptures that we're all guilty of this, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that our righteousness is as filthy rags. So, Father, we've all been guilty of this, but You have revealed to us through Your Word today that the Holy Spirit is alive and He is our friend and He desires to live and dwell in our hearts so that we might know who we are, that we might be given the words to express and demonstrate our life in the way that You would have us demonstrate it, that You will teach us all wisdom, that we might be Your true ambassadors of love and mercy and goodness in the world. Bring us to a place, Father, where we can open our whole lives to You and walk with our best friend, Jesus Christ, who has come to live in us as Your Spirit. And we pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.